Great. We will call to order the White Salmon City Council meeting for September 2nd. Jan, can you take roll call?
Jason Harmon.
Here.
David Lindley. He's muted, so hang on a minute.
I'm here. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Ashley Post.
Here.
Jim Rensier.
Here.
Joe Turkowitz.
Here.
So David, currently your video is also muted.
Sorry, I'll get it going. Had some technical difficulties, but
okay.
Should be good to go.
For council members, knowledge, Pat Munyon will not be joining us tonight, and Ken Woodridge will be joining us at this time by phone.
Okay, Jan, do you want to read any public comments that we received by 5 o'clock today?
Yes, we have one public comment. This is from Sasha Bentley. She lives in the White Salmon area outside the city limits. I'm excited to see you will be discussing recognizing diversity months during this meeting. I think this is a simple but powerful thing the city can do to work on improving diversity, inclusion, and community. I'm excited to hear how the city will recognize these months. I'd love to see a visual. Let me add someone. I'd love to see a visual, maybe a banner across the road. And I'd also like to listen to someone who can speak on the diversity month at a city council meeting. I think these are two easy and relatively cheap things the city can do. Another important idea that I think would be greatly beneficial is if the council would give someone new a temporary seat at the table, so recognizing diversity months can also result in real needed change for others. I also wanted to quickly say thank you for making these city council meetings available to the public. I hope you continue this option to meet in person again. And that's all I have.
Okay.
Ken, you might want to mute. We're getting a lot of
thank you, Jay.
Down. Yeah.
Any changes to the agenda by councilors or staff? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into the business items. First business item one is resolution 2020-08-506, recognizing diversity month. This was in the packet in terms of a memo and background information, and full disclosure, we probably should have called them Heritage Month, but the idea here would be to more formally bring into recognition within the city the Heritage Months that have been proclaimed historically by presidents, and these range, I think all of us are probably familiar with them, but Black History Month in February, Women's History Month in March, Asian Pacific American Heritage Month in May, Pride Month in June, which the council has already voted on, and then Hispanic Heritage Month, which actually runs from September 15th to October 15th, and Native American Heritage Month through November. So I think it was alluded to actually in the public comment and what I mentioned in our memo, but I think that this is a way that we can continue, one small way to continue carrying forward kind of the intent of that diversity resolution that we passed last month and create opportunities through our council meetings and through city available communication tools to connect our community with members that are of some of these heritage groups, and then also just broader education and awareness. So ways of implementation that I see initially while we are still in this virtual space would be to engage with organizations that are already doing some work in our communities and founded or formed by some of these individuals to come and speak to the council, similar to what we did with Mental Health Awareness Month. For Pride Month this past summer, we did do some visual recognition around town. I think we can carry that forward for some of these months as well. But I think this is also an opportunity for the council to weigh in with some ideas if it is something that you decide to move forward on. And I think that the Community Development Committee could also take this idea and carry it forward or continue to expand upon it as we start to see these implemented. But I wanted to bring it forward now since there are still a few months right now in 2020. And since so much of our work is so remote, I think this is also an opportunity to try to get more engaged with the community while we're all still not able to meet together. And then obviously get it in place going into 2021. So I leave it to the council if you'd like to have a discussion first or bring a motion to a table and then have the discussion.
So Marla, is it your recommendation that in the resolution we would change it to read recognizing heritage months, and then in the now therefore we would change it, we'll annually recognize the following heritage months? Or do you just want to leave it at diversity months?
I guess I'm open to the discussion. I think on a technicality part, they are more recognized as heritage or history months. And so I'm just not sure if my choice of the word diversity is appropriate. I mean, I do think it's keeping in the mindset of what is our diversity resolution. But I think that how the months have been recognized is honoring the history or the heritage that different groups bring to the fabric of the country. So I might be splitting hairs, and maybe the word is not, you know, that important, but I just realized as I was reviewing the packet again that what I had written might be a little bit using the wrong term. Jim, did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I would. It would be, in my opinion, at least, would be simple just to say Heritage and Diversity Months. Like, I don't know. Like, can we combine words?
We could say Heritage/Diversity Month.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I think both sound great. I'll make a motion.
Sorry. I was,
Ashley, did you want to have a comment first or?
Sure. Just for further discussion. I just had a couple of questions. I was just curious, my questions are how this decision to bring this resolution forward came about in this timing. And also, I was just curious who has contributed to this list. And I had a follow-up idea, but I just wanted to hear a little bit more on that first.
Sure. Well, the idea to bring it forward was the result of some feedback that I've heard from the community both earlier this year when we were recognizing Pride Month and more recently. And then I think it's something that I've been mulling for a while this summer as I've been kind of exploring other ways that we can bring that diversity resolution kind of more formally into our activities at the city. And that's been everything from reviewing some of our codes for some of the terms that we use, which was started during the moratorium. And then things like this, ways that the city can actually interact with the community. I brought it forward at this time because I felt like there were still some months left in the year. And since it does seem like we're staying remote for the rest of the year, that I've more broadly been trying to figure out ways to bring to these council meetings some enriching opportunities, I think for you guys, but also for myself and hopefully staff. And I felt like when we did do mental health awareness or in the past when we were able to have presentations at our council meeting, it helped us connect with different interests or groups in the community. In terms of how the months were selected, I really tried to go back, and I think I mentioned it, but referencing any of the heritage months that have reached a presidential proclamation, because there's certainly a ton of months out there. And I am not saying that this is a full sweeping comprehensive list, but I felt like using that as the qualifier that they had a presidential proclamation kind of gave a good guidepost for how we would set these, but this is my recommendation. So obviously if the council feels otherwise or you guys want to change it, that's certainly your discretion.
Okay. I have a lot of thoughts. You know, my initial thought, it kind of goes in line with things that I've said in the past about feeling hesitant about our city government taking the role of socially educating the public, and that I prefer that to be a community-led endeavor for conversation and celebrations. I feel like it can speak louder that way and can be more effective. This does follow in line with our diversity declaration that we made 2 years ago. And I think, like you were saying, Marla, we have heard quite a few different people ask for follow-up to that. So it seems like a good follow-up. I just wonder if before moving forward and making it official, I think it would probably be good to open up the conversation for a little bit more input if there's other months, if there's other months that people would like to see recognized. I think there are other ones that have had presidential proclamations in the past. And I think it would also be helpful if we knew going forward kind of what the standard of recognizing these months might be. I don't know if the community, what is it called? Our committee. Can somebody help me with the name of that group?
Community Development.
Thank you. I'm wondering if they might be able to meet to discuss this. I think that Sasha Bentley proposed some really good ideas for how to acknowledge these diversity heritage months. But I think if we're making this official, it might be nice to have it have the, a little bit more discussion and planning behind it. I just imagine if we go forward with this, there will probably be other people that will come out of the woodwork with other ideas. And being that it's the purpose of it is acknowledging diversity, it seems like it wouldn't be, it would just be good to hear input from other groups. Just to be more inclusive and hear other ideas that might come to the table. That's just my thought, be to have a little bit more conversation about it before moving forward.
Jason, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, I appreciate the idea to give this more thought. I think this, as it's written, is actually pretty well thought through and looks pretty well presented. And I think if other people come forward who want to bring other months for us to consider, I think we could certainly consider that. It's not like this closes the door on us adopting other months or other, you know, recognitions or other heritage ideas. So I think this is a good first step. I think it's a starting point for ways that we can incorporate diversity and inclusiveness into our city conversations. And I wouldn't want, you know, I wouldn't want perfection to be the, you know, get in the way of progress.
Jim, I think I saw your hand raised.
Yeah, I was going to say that that's actually very similar to what I was going to say, Jason, which is like, I absolutely think that I'd welcome additional feedback if there were other months in the future that people were interested in adding. Definitely not interested or thinking that this is the perfect list, but certainly a great starting point and something that I think communicates the right message to our community, which is a welcoming community, and that we do value all the different groups, heritage groups, and diversity within our community. So yeah, I think it's a good start, but by no means it would ever need to be the end of months, for future designation. So yeah.
David?
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to either of those comments. I'll just piggyback on both of them. I agree. I think this is the start. It's only declaring 6 months, so there's several more months to consider. I think it'll fuel conversation and perhaps bring other ideas forward, which again is the intent of education and community conversation. And I hope that this is the first step. I hope that we do more than just recognize these months, that we explore ways to honor them and to educate. So again, starting point.
Joe, did you have any comments, or you don't have to, but I just want to make sure we go through all the counselors. Okay, any follow-up from other counselors? Yes, Ashley.
So in that case, I mean, could we add to the list right now? If anyone had any other ideas that they wanted to submit?
Do you have ideas, Ashley?
Sorry, what was that, Jan?
I said, do you have ideas?
Okay. Yes. we have in the past acknowledged Mental Health Awareness Month. That lands on the same month as Asian Pacific American Heritage Month.
So just a quick comment, maybe this might help you distinguish maybe between this resolution and maybe some additional future resolution. I think when we look at diversity and heritage, me as a citizen, I wouldn't necessarily put mental health awareness in that. It's just like I wouldn't put a cancer month in this resolution. But the city council might want to recognize mental health awareness every year and adopt a separate resolution like you did with Pride that recognizes that every month. So you may want to have a subsequent resolution that identifies some of those other months. But I think if you start adding like cancer awareness or mental health awareness, it changes somewhat the tone, and this is just a staff's perspective and a citizen's perspective, it changes the tone of this resolution, which is really speaking to people diversity and heritage. Whereas, you know, some of these are maybe a different kind of issue that might not fall under this specific resolution, but might be good to be recognized. And I know that in the past, the council has recognized mental health awareness via a resolution. And so instead of doing that every year, you could do what you did with Pride Month and adopt a resolution that's separate, or maybe you have a second resolution from this that identifies those every month, those monthly things you want to recognize every year without having to every year adopt a resolution. Staff would fully support that because that's just more paperwork we have to remember to do every year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, I think when we originally saw a resolution similar to this, it did have a couple of other, I think it had mental health awareness on it and
cancer awareness.
Cancer awareness, domestic violence awareness month.
Right.
There were probably a few others.
Yeah.
I think there was one about veterans. Okay, well, sticking with heritage, another one is Jewish American Heritage Month. Which is,
and what month is that?
That's also usually in May. But I think some places also celebrate it in or acknowledge it in April.
Were there any other months you wanted to mention, Ashley?
No, other ones I'd listed kind of go along with what Jan was saying about possibly belonging on a different list.
And Jason, I saw your hand raised earlier. Did you still have a comment?
Oh, I thought that when we adopted the Mental Health Awareness Month, that was an ongoing thing. Was that just a single?
It was a single year. The only one we've done with that was the Pride Month one.
Got it, okay.
So I like Ashley's idea that if there are other months that the city council, and maybe that's, you can forward those ideas to me, Ashley. We are going to have a community development committee here shortly, and we can add that to their agenda. Yeah. And then they can bring back a recommendation to the city council.
Okay.
I would be supportive of adding Jewish American Heritage Month to this list. It seems to fit.
Do we know if there's a presidential proclamation?
Yeah, Joe.
Is there any issue?
I'm looking right now.
Is there any issue with sharing the month? Like if that entity or group is recognized on that month along with another, is that okay to recognize both under the same months or not? That's if it's traditional.
I don't see why not, right?
I don't foresee. I just was looking. It looks like George W. Bush just proclaimed Jewish American Heritage Month back in 2006. So Asian Pacific American Heritage Month was already in existence at that time. which leads me to believe that there isn't a larger consideration about overlap on these heritage months.
Yeah. Also, it looks like it was originally proclaimed in April.
Was that?
Yeah.
Was that the
proclaimed in April before May, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
So when someone gets ready to make a motion, let me know what changes you want, and I may ask some questions when you get to that point. So I make sure that I collect them all.
I'll make a motion.
Jim, if you could just clarify in the motion which of the discussion items you want to bring forward, the adjustment to the language, if you want to include that, and then also if you want to add Jewish American Heritage Month in May.
Yes, I'd like to, where's that? I already lost it. Adopt resolution 2020-08-506, recognizing Heritage / or maybe Heritage and Diversity Month, I would want to word that, with the addition of a Jewish American month in the month of May, period. Yeah, I'll stop there.
And that was a motion, right?
That was a motion.
Yes. That was a motion.
And just for clarification, the resolution is 2020-09-506. There's probably a typo in the agenda memo. Sorry.
Okay.
Happens when you're putting an agenda memo together in August for September.
I'll second that again.
Okay. Jason Hartman seconded. Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing no hands, Jan, will you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Nay.
Jim Rensier?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz? Joe, you're muted.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to business item number 2, Crestline Construction Payment number 6. And USDA reimbursement request number 6. Jan, would you like to give the overview?
Yes, so you should have gotten an email from me yesterday, and these items were added to the webpage for our city council meeting. So I am asking for authorization to approve Crestline Construction Payment number 6 in the amount of $203,777.58. And USDA reimbursement request number 6 in the amount of $227,801.36.
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is that Joe?
Yes.
Okay, Jason Hartman made the motion. Joe Turkowitz seconded. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post? You're muted, Ashley.
Aye.
Thank you. Jim Rensier?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda, which includes approval of meeting minutes for August 19th, 2020, and approval of vouchers in the amount of $399,125.32. Are there any requests? Yes, Jen.
So I had a member of the public who attended the city council meeting, and they noted that I may have been a little too succinct in my due tos on the public comment. And after reading their email, I would agree with that. So as the scrivener of those meeting minutes, and with your consent, I would add that the opposition is due to the project due to scenic impacts, comma, possible health impacts, zoning, deed restrictions, and code height violations, comma, cost benefit analysis, comma, illegal subdivision of city property, comma, and potential property devaluation. And I do believe the majority of the comments did speak to those four additional items.
Okay, any other Scribner edits to the meeting minutes from August 19th?
No.
Okay, can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
With minutes as corrected.
With the minutes as corrected. Thank you, Jan.
You're welcome.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the minutes as corrected.
Okay, David Lindley made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Jim Rentz, you're seconded. Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Harmon?
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Jim Rensier?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz? Joe, you're muted.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to department head and council reports. Yes, Ashley, do you have a comment?
I do. There's an edit that I forgot to bring up for the resolution before. I don't know if it's too late to make this edit, but on the third whereas, it says the city of White instead of the city of White Salmon.
We can fix that. Okay. Just a typo. I'll fix it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chief Hepner, do you have any updates for the council?
How's everyone tonight?
Good.
So there hasn't, I really don't have updates other than we're getting more and more calls at Harvest Market regarding people's believe their rights are being offended by having to wear a mask. I simply explained to them it's a private business and they have their own policies and they do have separate days set aside for people who do not want to wear one. So we're just getting more and more calls there. I think it's because of the weather. It's getting a few disorderly DUIs, but other than that, unless you have questions for me.
I guess one question I have, follow up on your first comment. So when you are called by Harvest and your officers are engaging with these customers, does a conversation usually mitigate the issue or, okay.
Yes. And Harvest Market is also when the, because the people are, get a little heated about it and they trespass them. And then I let them know they are trespassed from the store until further notice.
Good. Yes, Joe.
Just curious on the numbers of like how many people are we talking about in this situation?
I think we've had, since last weekend, we've had four.
Wow.
So I was there just yesterday. Nothing today, but it's posted, and usually when I point out that there's a separate time, they understand that, but it is posted in the store, so maybe they could take a little more time when they come in and read all the info.
Are they from out of town, or are they local?
The ones I've dealt with are from not in town, no.
Are they from Klickitat County?
One.
But most of them are like, well, three of the four were from our visitors.
Yes.
Especially.
If Hepner, has this occurred with any other businesses besides Harvest Market?
No, I have not had any other issues with any other businesses. And I'm guessing it's the volume of people that come through Harvest Market and they in a day's time.
I'm aware of one business that did not call the police. They had an individual enter the store, told him that he had to have a face mask on, told him not to come back without a face mask. He left. It's my understanding he then came back at a later time. I don't know if it was a few days, a week, or whatever. He did, again, refuse to wear a mask. And it's my understanding that individual has been banned from that store for a year.
Oh, okay.
But that's the only incident I've heard about at that store. And that was a local county resident.
Okay. Town seems to be getting busier and busier. I don't know if you guys have recognized that.
It's the end of the summer push.
And the weather's still nice.
And the weather to prove it.
So, yeah.
You're trying to get in all
any other questions for Chief Ebner? Okay. Chief Hunsaker, we missed your colorful backgrounds this week. Any updates?
No, I don't really have anything for you. I'm glad to see everybody's, hope everybody's doing well. Just here if you have any questions for me on anything that I'm doing for the city. Fire, building, anything else.
When does the burn ban lift?
Burn ban will lift before September 31st.
Okay. I figured we're still seeing.
And then it'll be weather permitting. If it's still dry, we will extend it.
Is that September 30th or October 31st?
30th. Okay. Sorry. Misspoke. Midnight the 30th. October 1st, however.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Bill? Okay, Russ, any updates for the council?
We've had a couple service line leaks in the last couple weeks. Just kind of wear and tear on the service lines, just kind of minor. See, Crest Line is going to start going up Skyline around the 16th. How we met with the hospital today and stuff and kind of coordinated the lane closure that we'll be doing with them and stuff. So other than that, we're keep on repairing potholes.
Great. And how do we stand on potholes? Are we still intending to get as much done as possible while the weather remains strong?
Yes,
hopefully
get a couple more months. That's what I'm hoping is, you know, the weather's nice, so if we can keep on top of them, try to get as many done as possible.
Great. Ken, any updates? Sorry, David. I looked down.
Russ, first off, thanks for your work on the potholes. It's wearing my citizen hat there. I think it's much appreciated around town. Second, I was just wondering, what's the percentage completion on the Waterline Crestline project?
I think I would say we're probably almost 80%, if not more. The last section they have to do is to go up to the hospital. And they probably have about another 200 feet to the Benjen tie-in.
Okay.
And then they have to tie in the last PRV on Vine Street. So I think that the majority of the main line is in and all most of the services.
Is there a tentative completion date or do you not utter those things out loud?
The last change order you approved, substantial completion is supposed to be done by in September. Paving has to be done by a certain date because you know they have to come back in, and this will drive the public crazy. Is they will dig out all the patches are not, they're just temporary patches right now. So they will dig all of those out and pave, and they'll probably try to get that done all in one swoop or a couple of days swoop, and that'll that'll be the last thing they do. The project's supposed to be totally done by October 24th with everything. That's everything, like submission, all the final paperwork, everything. So they'll be moving pretty quickly over the next 3 weeks.
Great, thank you.
Jan, any updates?
A couple of things. I was not able to be at Farmers Market yesterday. I was out of the office, and due to a committee meeting next week, I won't be there also. But we have come up with, I'm hoping, a solution for recycling bags on an honor system. We're going to put a table during office hours during outside on the walkway so that people can come and take up to 3 bags per household. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to post it on the website. I'll do a personal post to the White Salmon's Happening page. And the mayor's going to post something on her Facebook page. And so we certainly encourage you to get the word out. Also, that those recycling bags, if you have someone complain, oh, City Hall's closed, I can't get my bags. Well, now they have a way to get those. If for some reason people come and take the whole box, or it gets out of hand, then we may have to reconsider what we do there. So there's a little
abuse message. It, you lose it is our motto.
Yes, if you abuse it, you're losing it, and you're losing it for all of your fellow citizens. So hopefully they will take that into consideration.
We'll put some camera surveillance on the bags.
I don't think it's worth that much money. Just kidding. We had to move our city ops committee from last night to next Tuesday. As I mentioned, we have a city retreat next Wednesday. We will get you an agenda. We're hoping to get that agenda packet out to you, hopefully tomorrow afternoon, early evening. It'll be posted on the website. We're scheduling a community development committee meeting, I think, for the week of September 14th. We'll also have a budget committee meeting in September to begin starting to look at a few things and touch base on where our budget is. The good news is looking at our sales tax dollars, we're pretty good right now. Particularly for some of you newer council members, I think I may have said this before, I budget what I call conservatively. It's one of the reasons why Pat and Mayor Poucher hired me, is I tend to budget a little on the lower side for revenues and a little bit on higher side for expenditures, just to make sure that we're not faced with any unknowns out there. You always get that super one. You could always get some crazy thing happen that you can't plan for, period. But right now we're on the good side. I think part of it's related to Crestline. There are sales tax with that. The other good news is Skyline's project going forward, there'll be a substantial amount of sales tax coming in on that project. There's been a lot in the news, if some of you have seen it, and I think it will have an impact on our restaurants here. The winter is coming. And that means, unfortunately, that outdoor dining will go away. So pretty much everywhere, I think it's a national topic right now, because a lot of restaurants are using retooled, move their stuff outdoors. And there's discussion like, what does it mean, come November 1? And that's pretty much kind of the deadline that everyone's talking about. It may be different in certain parts of the country, but at least in the Northwest, it seems like that November 1 date's looming. And so it's a little worrisome. I'm sure the restaurant owners are thinking about it also. Marla and I are working on implementing the 2 programs. We hope to get that that paperwork and stuff ready to go by the end of the week and get that out there. One thing, and I don't know, I should have asked you about this earlier, Marla. We adopted a resolution for helping businesses. We have one particular business who is not open. And at this point, I don't think it's going to open before the end of the year. And it's Tarwater, they're a bar, and they are not allowed to open until they reach phase three. And even at phase three, they would have maybe been able to do something outside, but you know, they can't seat anyone at a traditional bar. They have to be at tables. So I've never been in there. I think it's pretty small in there, which is why they have their outdoor space anyways. Jim, maybe you've been in there and you could speak to that. That program didn't speak to, it spoke to businesses that are operating and welcoming visitors and tourists for a season. So I'm not for sure how we help Tarwater or if we need to help Tarwater. As your clerk treasurer, I feel like we need to help them, but I don't know what their financial situation, and maybe Marla's reached out to them and talked to them.
Yeah, I think that as Jan mentioned, right now our focus the last 2 weeks has been on really dialing in the implementation of those two programs, but I think potentially we might come back before the council on some of the business support. For the reason that Jan mentioned in terms of leaving out a noticeable business downtown that might need some additional assistance, and then just making sure, you know, the end goal here is that all of those funds get into the community, and there is a timestamp on that. And so we're really being mindful about what's feasible. And right now we think the programs outlined are feasible, but if that changes, then we would come back before the council sooner than later to make sure all that money gets into hands that can use it in the best way possible. So we might be bringing back some updates, especially on the business side of things, if we see a road of opportunity to support someone like Tarwater. And I should still mention that this is all in addition to some countywide small business and business grants that are going out, and that'll be the third stage or third tranche of funding that's coming at the county level for our businesses. And the specifics on that will be communicated more publicly, but the intent is that it will still be capturing and supporting businesses that may have already benefited from other programs, because there's a shared recognition that the longer that this is going on, even if you've had funding in the past, doesn't mean necessarily that you're not still facing some burdens. So that's realized. Thank you, Jan. Ken, any updates? Oh yeah, Jason, question.
Just a quick follow-up on that. So the owner of the Tarwater is a friend of a friend of mine. Who should he reach out to? You, Jan, or Marla?
Yeah, I'll have him reach out to me. I'm here every day. Have him send me an email or even just call me. I might have to call him back, but so an email would be best. Okay. And then I'll make sure it gets forwarded to Marla, and we're going to have a chat about some of this pretty quickly. And so I don't know if he was able to get any of the early county funding. I know it went pretty quick, and it's countywide. So I know White Salmon isn't the only town that has or community that has businesses that are struggling. So
sure. Another one, and I sent you guys a note on it, is Gorge Makerspace. The owner of that is a friend, and he is looking for some support. So
where is that space located?
It's behind Harvest Market and near Bethel's Church.
But yeah, in between.
So they're not. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up again, Jason. Mm-hmm. I recall your note, but they are.
No, I don't think so. There's.
I'll reach out to Jack.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their exact situation is, but he would love some support. He was asking if we could waive his water bill or do something. I mean, that's small potatoes. It seems like there's something that we could do to help him out. He is an awesome resource in the community. And if there's anything we can do to keep him happy and here, I think we, you know, anything we can legally do, I think we should do it.
Great. Yeah. I'll touch base with Jack and sure that he's brought into the fold.
Thank you.
Yes, Jim.
Jan, one quick question. Is there an update on the park restroom remodel?
Yes, they are in the process of ordering parts. This is a really good company who's doing due diligence. I received some submittals. People in the construction world, Joe would understand what that means. That means making sure that before they order something, that it is what we want. So they don't order something and then it gets delivered and it doesn't meet our specifications. So I'll be working probably with Bill and Pat on that to get those reviewed hopefully tomorrow and then sent off on them. We did change the end date of that contract to December 31st. The good news is it won't affect the farmers market. They've kept the door locked, but a key has been available for vendors in case they have to use the restroom. They're there from 3:30 until 7 in the evening. The last day of farmers market is the Tuesday after Labor Day. So I think their goal is to start the week of September 14th and get going on it. And once they get in, get it done.
Great.
Any other questions for Jan? Okay, Ken, any updates?
Just where the governor has said we're basically having Zoom meetings again through the end of September. So that emergency declaration has been extended for that period. So here we are, more Zoom.
And just as a reminder, we'll have to do some kind of hybrid because he hasn't lifted any of the requirements related to gatherings and social distancing. And so one of the things that we're looking at is having staff and council meet in person with multiple cameras and laptops so that we can have the public attending by Zoom, which would allow full public attendance versus having to let three people in and then tell everybody else they have to go home and not come to a meeting.
Any questions for Ken? Okay, counselor updates. Ashley, any updates?
You're muted.
I think you're muted.
All right, you'd think I'd learn by now. I do not
have nightmares about this.
Okay, Jim.
No updates for me.
Joe.
No updates for me either.
Okay, Jason.
No updates for me.
And David.
No updates.
Okay, just a couple updates on my end, but as Jan mentioned, I think most of our energy since last council meeting has been building out the CARES programs. We did send a letter of confirmation to the county today that we will be participating in the countywide consortium for CDBG CD1. This is the first amount of funds that are coming down through to counties and cities to help with public services. So here in Klickitat, we see that becoming additional support for rent, mortgage, and utility payments. There will be a public hearing. That's a requirement as part of the process, and that's going to be September 15th. So I'll be sharing that information through the city Facebook page, but we'll also get it out through the city website. The census is something that we're really trying to get information out into the community about. I think I've mentioned in the past, but the census ends September 30th in terms of ability to be counted. Every individual is basically a $3,000 funding support into a community. And so right now, white salmon's at 46%. We're ranking still pretty low statewide, even though Washington is in the top three for reporting. So on the current numbers, that's about $4 million annually in funding that we're missing out on. That's funds that support community projects, school assistance, housing potentially. So it really is a big, important point of emphasis. If you have neighbors or if you haven't filled out the census, please do so. The census is going to be doing some community outreach locally because of our low reporting, and that's going to happen September 12th and September 18th, they'll be at the BZ Corner Grocery. And then September 14th and the 16th, they'll be at Mount View Grange. And I'll share that information as well to the Facebook page, and we'll also get out a city post. But there's one thing to really reinforce with people. I think it's the census reporting. We're really hoping to improve our numbers. Additionally, as Jen mentioned, we're working on pulling the information for the retreat next week. So we're hoping that that agenda and packet material gets out to you guys by tomorrow. And then we've had a lot of complaints, and I'm sure you guys have experienced it as well, but Republic Services and the garbage collection have been a point of frustration this summer. They did do some additional recycling pickup. They're aware of our dissatisfaction with how service has been. We feel like they are being more responsive now, but if that issue continues, then we might be a little more forceful in our feedback to them. But right now they have been listening. So we're hoping that we turn the tide on trash going forward. Any questions?
So just a quick comment on,
Yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna ask.
Go ahead, Ashley.
With our city council retreat, is there any chance that we could meet in person, social distance? And why is that?
Because the governor has an order that we can't do those. That's what Ken was talking about. He just extended that order to September 30th. So
and that includes retreats. Okay, got it.
It's a public meeting.
Oh, okay.
Even though it's a retreat, it's still a meeting of the city council, and it is public.
Okay.
So it will be a Zoom retreat.
Okay.
With public in attendance, yeah. If they so choose.
Right. Just feel like it opens up conversation a little bit better when we're actually together, but not this year.
No.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Jen.
So there are census takers in the area. I spent quite a bit of time today answering a number of questions about properties. Unfortunately, it appears that most of these census takers are not from here. They don't live here. They don't live in Klickitat County. All three of them that I talked don't even live in the Vancouver area. And so it's unfortunate because I think census takers that know more about our community sometimes do a better job at census taking. But they're getting, the questions I'm getting are probably relating to short-term rentals. There's either, if people are there, they're saying they're renting it by Airbnb. And so they're contacting local governments just to make some confirmation about does the street address exist, confirming who the property owner is, and do we have a mailing address? I had one person, one of them said, well, if you could give us the phone number. And I said, I'm not comfortable with giving phone numbers. But I will provide you the mailing address, because if we gave people a list, it would have that on there. So, and I know, like Ashley mentioned, that she, even though she filled out a census online, she was contacted by a census taker. Our household was contacted by a census taker, but again, they were looking for information for a second home that's next door to us. Those people live in Alaska, who has some pretty strict quarantine rules related to COVID, and they have, they usually only come once or twice a year anyways, and not for very long.
We have some information the census has passed down about census takers, so perhaps I'll share that, Jan. I'm not sure if that came to all of us, but maybe we can put that up just so there's broader education in the community that they might be getting a door knocker. It is unfortunate they're not local. I know early on they were trying to hire all local, but it sounds like that didn't come true for our community, so that's too bad, but good to know.
And it's my understanding, at least there have been two incidents in the county, thankfully not in the city of White Salmon, whereby people were threatened with guns. One of them was one of the census takers I talked to today, and that individual at least was, may not be now, was sitting in Klickitat County Jail. I do feel for them. It's people don't want to talk to them. There are people in the county who don't want to talk to any government official, regardless of who it was, you know, and they definitely don't want to talk to federal officials. And it's a challenging job for them. So I try to take the time and listen to their stories, even though it interrupts my work day. So whatever we can do to help them, you know, even though they're not from here, let's do it.
Yeah, agreed. Yes, Ashley.
Yeah, and I think one of the goals with getting the word out really needs to be information or education about how the information you give to the census workers is used.
Confidential.
Right, and like, because there's so many people currently that are really feeling a lot of distrust towards our government, and you know, we're going through a hard time, so there's a lot of fear, and I've seen that sentiment out there a lot, that people would not even consider filling out the census this year. And that's really unfortunate, because I don't think they realize how much that directly affects their community and them.
Yeah, and I mean, I would just encourage, if you guys are encountering people that are having that conversation with you, I mean, the census, the way that it is protected in our, and required in our Constitution, and the way that its funding and count actually supports so many programs, the confidentiality that comes with those census questionnaires is coveted and protected and has not been violated at all in the history of the census. And I think that if they hear that from someone they trust, which is probably you guys, if you're hearing it directly from people, and you can say it as a belief and, you know, supported by the facts that are on a government website, I think that, you know, that is part of our responsibility too, is if we are the trusted face for their local government, it's to reinforce to them that taking a stance not based on fact and not filling it out is actually hurting a lot of the programs and the community that they love and live in. So I think these next 30 days, we'll try to get some more information up on the city site in terms of those in-person individuals that are in town and that they are certified and part of census, those four information tables, because that's an opportunity for people to self-respond. And countywide, we're still dealing with broadband access issues. And so that's, again, a chance for people who might not have internet access. I have information on both a Spanish and English telephone number, so we'll put that up again on the city site and through Facebook. But definitely on this area, if any of you have other ideas or see good information that you come across about the census, feel free to pass it along to Jan or myself, because we really are trying to just hammer home so people understand that taking a stance of not reporting their information is only hurting themselves and the community. It's not really taking a stance to benefit white salmon by not responding. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? And Ken, I don't think we need an executive session, but can you just confirm?
No, we don't. We don't have anything to discuss in executive session.
All right, then we will adjourn at 6:58. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye.